All right, here we go. This piece of paper, okay? I'm going to fly through, try to review to bring us back up to speed. So for any of you who are missing anything, I might be able to give you some spots there. Here we go, okay? So the first thing that we looked at, remember this, we're talking about getting practical in your personal time. Remember, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That was that passage in 2 Peter 3. And so the first thing that we kind of challenged you in was here's Christ who went to a solitary place to pray, a quiet place, an alone place, to get alone with God. And so number one is pick your place. I know what some of you have been thinking this whole time. You've been seeing pick your, and I know you're thinking pick your nose, but that's not what it is, okay? Pick your place, a quiet place, a solitary. Remove distractions, and that you can get alone with God. And then underneath that was a little bullet and a little line there, and that was for you to actually write in what your place was, okay? And then number two, remember that was to pick your time, that you figure out what time of the day is best for you, and then to pick it. And how many of you would read your Bible in the morning before, like kind of like before the day of some sort, okay? How many of you would do it in the evening, maybe before you go to bed, something like that, some of you in the evening? Okay, then how many of you would have a spot during the day at some point that you carve out? Anyone like that? Okay, great. And when I think about that too, I think about a friend of mine who works construction, and he said to me, he said, you know, for a long time, he goes, I really struggled with just having personal time with God. He goes, I kept making the excuse, I didn't have time. And then he said this, but he said in construction, he said the nature of it is I would go and I would drive to the job site. I would eat lunch in my vehicle. I would go back and eat lunch in my vehicle. Usually I'd just turn on the radio or whatever too and just eat lunch. He says, and it dawned on me one day, wait a second, I got plenty of time. So during his lunch break, as he's eating lunch, at that point, during that time, he said, I turned off the radio. I started reading my Bible. I started spending time with God. And he says, it's amazing. He said, that's my time. You know, and I said, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you got to kind of figure out when it's going to be. And honestly, it can change too. My wife used to always be like first thing in the morning. And then as we've had more kids, and we plan on no more, but we have the five kids, the truth is that she's up so late. And when I say that, my wife probably on average, and it's been really bad in the last 6 months, I think, it's probably 2 o'clock in the morning when she goes to bed. I think in some senses maybe she doesn't require as much sleep, but I think she still does too. And so the truth is in the morning it's hard for her to get going. But what she's found, she used to do it in the afternoon when certain kids would take the naps, you know, like that. That was a good time of a quiet time. But she's found that in the evening after she gets all the stuff done for school, then she sits down and then she begins to go through her personal time with the Lord. And so that's where she's found. I'm in the morning, and so that's kind of where I am. And honestly, sometimes before bed I do some even there too as well. And that's just a personal time. So find your time, make time, and that's what it is. And then number three, remember, was your plan, to have a plan. And I kind of challenge you to think about the plans. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'll kind of think through it a little bit. We talked about, you know, examples. I talked about a psalm and a proverb daily. We talked about reading through the New Testament. Maybe you'd work from Matthew and just work your way through the New Testament, 1 to 3 chapters a day, something like that. And then we talked about even having a yearly Bible reading where you read through the Bible in a year. I gave you kind of other ideas with different studies of like a topical study that you face something in your life that you feel like, hey, I want to study that out. And honestly, when you do that and you spend time with the Lord studying those things out, it's like that changes you too, because then you begin to learn to battle over sin, and you learn how to defeat it through the Word and trusting in the Lord in that way. And then the truth is you help other people in the process. We talked about a topic study and a book study, I mean, as well, where you take a book of the Bible and you begin to just dwell upon that. Actually, right now, I'm going through 1 Peter, and it's just, oh, it's rich. It's just, man, there's so much stuff there. And so I'm really enjoying 1 Peter. There's also, we talked about chronological study or read through a year. And again, I'm speaking off the cuff right now because I'm not peeking at my notes. We talked about different tools that you could have. And many of you use different tools. How many of you guys actually read your Bible on some kind of a study device, like maybe through a computer or an iPad or something like that, okay? Yeah, isn't it crazy? We live in a world where almost like you could say, sometimes in the evenings, you'd say, everyone turn on your Bible and go to, because it's a digital day and age. And just so you know, if you're part of the older generation too, it's not ungodly because it's on digital, okay? You know that too, don't you? Okay, and then the other thing is it's not, you shouldn't judge anyone else too if they have the real Bible, like a, you know, like a papers, you know what I'm saying, like that too. That's not evil either, okay? So anyway. Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, great, great. And actually, I think YouVersion does the same thing, and when the app and stuff too now, they're all, it's amazing how much interactive they're doing. And again, as I said something even about YouVersion with kids, there's a kids one for little kids, and it just kind of gives you some highlights, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, Kalea can sort, she's not reading the Bible, but you know, and she's three, she can't read, so it's like, but she can hit the button on different things too, and it, all of a sudden it's showing like creation and how God is, and it kind of speaks to her about that and reads it. It's kind of interesting, and then the bird flies down, and you can do stuff like that, and here's the hippopotamus or something. Yeah, so it's kind of got some neat little things for children, little kids, and as they get even older too. So anyway, these are some helpful tools, like you said too, just to be able to utilize that. I mean, what happens when a person loses their eyesight, you know? And or I mean, there that's what's so amazing in our world today. There are so many helps within that, and you can utilize those helps, especially in our world like that. And then, as we talked about the plans, remember the last bit of the plan was the one we said DPAC, and that's where we kind of flipped it over. And again, I'm just kind of flying through this. I think this can be helpful, and feel free if you want to interject on things sometimes too. But we talked about this. Remember, this is what is DPAC? And for those of you who were not here, I'll just real fast fly through this. D stood for doctrine. It's a truth to believe, a truth that's taught in the Bible. E stood for an example to either follow or / avoid. And there are certain, I hope you have Bible heroes. Do you have a Bible hero? I hope you have some of those that are like, wow, you want to be like that. But then there's some people in Scripture you say, dear God, help me, please help me not be like that. And rescue me from that. And so then P stands for promise. It's a promise to claim. You claim the promises of Scripture. A stands for attribute. It's an attribute to think about. It's a description of what God is like, who God is. And again, this actually is a great study. I think I did mention this. A biography of God. What a study. Honestly, again, sometimes we just don't know who God is. And when you learn to get to know him and you learn who he is, you learn about those compound names. I was talking to somebody even this week, and they're describing to me some of the studies, and even with the compound names and the names of God, and just how rich that study is, helping them to understand God better. And again, you trust people you know. So get to know God. And so you trust him better and trust him more. C stood for command, a command to obey. Yesterday, as we looked at this again too, we were talking about the steps to DPAC. As you think about this, again, DEPAC, God's packed it in. You can DPAC it, okay? It's just kind of a little simple kind of a thought to remember, but here it is. Number one, pray and ask God to help you understand. This is the psalmist. This is what the psalmist prayed, illumination. God, help me see it. And if we don't see it, it's not God's fault. And so we need help. And do you ask God for help before you read? I hope that you do. I hope that you humble yourself before, because this is a powerful, life-changing book. This is the Word of God. So why not say, God, help me, please? And then I would say number two is you find the planned passage. I kind of try to encourage you to think through it so you don't just randomly read the Bible and open up the Bible and kind of point and stuff too. Again, you start reading things out of context and you start getting things in trouble. You get yourself in trouble. You know, I've done this. I think of through the years where I've memorized a verse of Scripture. I'm like, man, that's a great one. This is perfect for what I'm struggling with. I mean, it seems to be perfect. But then later, as I went to study out that verse, I went, that had nothing to do with what I struggled with, actually. Although God used it in my life because I'm memorizing Scripture and my mind's on him. Okay, that's good. But you want to make sure that you read it in its context and you find out what does he mean by what he says there. Because, again, you could make the Bible say anything you want it to say. And people do that. It's amazing the sins that they can say, oh, God doesn't matter. He doesn't care. God's a God of love. He doesn't mind. You can do whatever you want to do, kind of, basically. That's not true. And then as you find these things, underline it. Mark in your Bible. Mark on your OS device. You know, you can do, I mean, don't mark on it. You know, I mean, don't take your pen and draw on your iPad. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you highlight it and write things. You can put letters beside the verse there, a command or a promise, a P there, or a doctrine there. So you put a D there maybe. There's many times I link things up. Even in my Bible like that. And then I would say, as we look through the questions, remember the two questions? It's like the first one is just information. What did I learn? Again, that'd be me asking you, have you read your Bible in the last 24 hours? Okay, so what'd you read about? And that's just information, isn't it? And information by itself doesn't necessarily change you. What really changes you? Well, it's this next question. How does God want me to live now because of what I've just learned, what I've just read about, and who I've learned about, and these things I'm studying? God, how do you want to change my life in all of this? And how should I live worthy of the gospel as you've dealt with me and these things? So that's application. Apply it to your life and allow God to change you. And sometimes like I was saying on Sunday morning, sometimes you read the Bible and it afflicts you, and sometimes it comforts you. And the truth is maybe even within a message, as we've been having the eating, some of you guys have said, I've heard all different kinds of responses, and some have told me multiple responses. Man, that was like super encouraging, but man, he stomped on my toes, and you know, and it's just the nature of the word itself. And some of you walk out with a big smile on your face. Some of you walk out thinking, I'm going to punch that preacher. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just that's just the nature of the word, I think, in our life. And if we humble ourselves to it, though, hopefully you won't punch me. Okay, so the next thing would be this is number six, spend some real time in prayer and think through that. Some of you maybe heard of the acrostic ACTS. Have you heard that one? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, I think it is. That's another one that could be helpful as just a little bit of a helpful tool in praying. And then I have the one for prayer down there as well. All right, now turn it back over to the front page where we were. And if you notice at the very bottom, I asked you this question, and I finished off here. I want you to be able to write it in. Can you write in what your plan is? Especially if you don't have a plan. I tried to give you some time to think about it. What are you going to do? I was talking to one of the members, and I was talking, what are you going to do? And they were talking about how they're reading through Matthew, and it was something they're planning on, and they began. And I don't know where you, and you might just say, well, I've already been doing this other plan, you know, and this is what I'm doing. Okay, well, then that's good. Write it out. And I say that again, because if you fail to plan, you might as well plan to fail. And that is the nature of it. I think about a person who says, New Year's resolution, I'm going to work out. But they never plan it out in their day. And in reality is what happens. They never do it, you know. So the truth is we got to, you have a plan and you follow that plan. And then the fourth thing, the last thing, would be this, is as you're thinking about number four, it's actually to have a partner or pick a partner. Okay. Now, as you have this, let's take our Bibles and see this last thought here tonight as we kind of conclude this little series. In Ecclesiastes, find the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament and Psalms, Proverbs, keep going, you'll find it there. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 9. Ecclesiastes is a poetic book. It's also a book of wisdom and wise sayings as well. And this is interesting because this is just practical right here. Verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. Well, that's true. It's like two people working. They get more done than one person, you know? And that's just the nature of two people. Hopefully they do. If you're not, then there is a problem. But the reality is two people work and they do. They get more reward for their labor. And then it says in verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. It's like two people working in a field somewhere, let's say. And let's say a person all of a sudden grabs their heart and the chest pain, they fall to the ground. And if they're all alone, and let's say their cell phone's not on them and they can't move, the reality is they may die. But if there's a friend there, that friend may actually pick them up, may put them in the vehicle, may drive them. I think of a pastor friend of mine in Alaska who just in the last, a couple years ago, I think it was, he had a massive heart attack. And the church secretary found him and knew CPR and started doing CPR and for 20 minutes. And if she hadn't have done that, the doctor said, there's no doubt you'd be dead. And he's alive. When you think about this, it's just practical. Two are better than one. If a person falls, I mean, have you been alone when you... Think about it spiritually, though. I'm going to pull you into a spiritual realm just to even consider that, how helpful it is to have other people to be an encouragement. Isn't this interesting that God didn't make us to be mavericks? He didn't make us to be loners. There's something called the church, the body of believers. And honestly, that's we should be a part of the church. We live in a day and age where people aren't committed, are they? And so you have Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. That's kind of like a norm. And yet it shouldn't be. I think you guys have broke the mold, I feel like, this week. I feel like you guys have done a great job through the week, and praise the Lord. You know, you look at this, though, and you go, okay, here's the idea of being able to have that companionship. You go even further. Look at this in verse 11. And if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? I said that years ago. I said something like this in a church. It was in Mishawaka, Indiana. And this lady out of the blue speaks out. She says, isn't that the truth? And it was an older lady. And we looked up. I mean, I stopped. I just looked over her. And she said, isn't that the truth? She said it real loud. And I looked over at her, and she says this in front of all these people. She says, my husband died this year, and my bed is so cold at night. And we're all like, there's truth to that. It's like two people there. It's the nature of even them traveling back in the day. Guess what? They'd huddle together, and they would sleep in a group. It's like it's for warmth's sake, and yet, how can one be warm alone? And then it tells you in verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Think about a three-stranded rope. If it's three-stranded rope and you cut one of the strands, does the rope still hold? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Now, is it weaker? Yeah, it sure is. But if it's a one-stranded rope and you cut it, it's done. It's done. So what I'm trying to encourage you is think about partnership and friendship. Now, when I say that, what I'm not trying to say is, hey, everyone, have family devotions with your friend. You know what I mean? No, that's odd. And that's, you know, you could do a Bible study together too, but that's not your personal time, is it? I mean, think about this. I remember one teenager asked me this years ago at the Wild as I was counseling. He says, why in the world why do I have to read my Bible? I mean, like my dad does family devotions every night with us. I said, yeah, but when you die, think about this, you stand before God, it's your life, it's you and your relationship with God, it's not your dad's. You know, this, you say, he's a pastor's kid, and you know what's crazy? Is that on the Friday night, he got saved. And then he said, now I understand why. And I said, yeah, that's true. So think about it. Who could be a partner? Well, like a spouse. That why not? Why can't they keep you accountable or you keep them accountable? You know, how are you doing in this? That's good. That's good. So you're like, well, I'm not married. Okay. A friend. Why not? Why can't you get a peer? Maybe find someone. Maybe you find someone who's really faithful. Maybe you have a peer that really is. It's like, wow, that's awesome. And so that friend's trying to keep you accountable because you're not so faithful. Or maybe you're really faithful and that friend isn't. And you can actually be an encouragement to that friend and have a friend. But it's good. Again, more peers I think about. I think of a parent-child relationship. Why not? Why can't Tommy, my 12-year-old, why can't he ask me, Dad, what are you reading? What's going on? And why can't I say, hey, son, are you spending time with the Lord? And, you know, and I'll say things. I kind of give him a little incentive sometimes, but it's like, I don't want to read it for me. And yet, ultimately, even if they were reading it for me, at least they're in it. That's helpful at this point in time, but the truth is I want them to love the Lord and love the Word. And I can't make them do that, but I can expose them to it and try to encourage them that way. So think about that. Who's your partner? Who could a partner be of yours? And why can't you have multi? You know? And then don't blame your partner. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't had my devotions all week long. My partner's a loser. They never called me. No, maybe you need to call them. Maybe you need to say, hey, listen, I'm really tanking. It's hard. And I've not done well. Do you mind praying for me? And in this, it's like initially, it does take time to establish a habit, doesn't it? They say maybe up to like, sometimes in upwards of like 6 weeks even to establish a habit. And so the reality is, as you're doing it daily, it starts to get easier. As you continue to do it, pretty soon in your life, it becomes a habit. And some of you, how many of you feel like in your life right now, you actually have a habit of it? It's kind of a norm, like it would almost be rare that you miss because it's become such an established habit. You got that? Some of you guys got that? Okay, great. That's awesome. Now the struggle, am I going to do it? Like if you were to ask me, I'm like, I don't battle over, am I going to read my Bible today or not? That doesn't go through my mind at this point. But what does go through my mind is, what am I getting from it? Because if I'm not careful, you could do something out of habit and you don't really pursue God and seek to know Him. And so that's the challenge to you. So we finished on all these things. I hope that you've thought through this. I hope that this has helped to kind of challenge you and personally. And I would say this, if you could, if you're not used to those six steps that I say with Deepak that I went through, could you try something for just, I mean, flatter me, and for like a week? Look at those steps as you spend time with God and maybe walk through those steps. And then you know what? The truth is, after a couple of days, you won't even think about those steps the same way anymore because they're already ingrained within you to really interact with God. Remember, we talk to God through prayer, and He speaks to us through His Word. That's the nature of it. And so let God speak to you.